This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Welcome along to the podcast, It Is What It Is, with myself, Darren Harper, and, of course, the footballing legend that is Carlton Palmer, who joins us right now. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I mean, have a good start to the week on Monday with me daughter, who graduated last year. She's finally got a job in social work with the Birmingham City Council. So I can't be more happier, you know, flying back to Shanghai on Tuesday and she's all set now. So really Brilliant. Happy.
Yeah, no, that's spectacular. Have you missed Shanghai? Are you looking forward to getting back?
No, funny enough, I said to my missus yesterday. I mean, we've had a long time off, but I am looking forward to going back now and going back to work. And you know, I enjoy Shanghai, and when I come back and I see all my family, I see all my friends, yeah, and it's great and it's fantastic and the weather's been brilliant. But I do appreciate the life that I have over there, because it enables me to do what I've done this summer, you know, go to Portugal to my house there and go on a cruise and treat the kids, and the kids are all, you know, I've got my boy now, just got 2 years left at university. So I see all the benefits of what I'm doing in Shanghai when I come back to the UK. So I'm looking forward to going back and continuing to be able to provide for my family and enjoying life as well.
Marvellous stuff. Loads to talk about in the world of sport, Carlton. Let's start with Leeds, actually, because the last time we talked, not much was happening with Leeds United. But what a difference a week makes, really. They've signed Barry Douglas from Wolves, who was one of the best players in the Championship last season, no doubt about that. Jack Harrison, exciting Man City winger, has signed on loan for a year. And also, just yesterday, Patrick Bamford from Middlesbrough has signed on, again on a full deal. And the most expensive signing Leeds have made since Robbie Fowler joined the club way back in the early 2000s. So, ahead of the big kickoff, Leeds United seem to be doing the right things. Fans are happy now, Carlton.
Yeah, I think what they did, well, obviously we've talked about this and we touched on it, whether the owner had said to him, well, there's no money available just yet. But I think what they've done is they've waited to the last minute, so before the season starts, because sometimes you throw your hat in the ring too early for players, bidding goes on and you lose out. So what they've done is they've identified the players they've wanted. They've waited till the week before the season, although it's not ideal preparation for the start of the season, but it avoids getting into bidding war. It's in, done, dusted. He's got those players in now. So, yeah, some good signings. And, I'm very excited for Leeds United this season. I really am. As I said, it's a big season for them. They get big crowds. They deserve to be in the Premier League. The fans deserve to be in the Premier League. So hopefully this year will be their year.
Well, we certainly hope so. I mean, I've just been looking at some of the odds for this year, and Leeds are 100-30 to get promoted this year out of the Championship. Stoke are favourites, which is, of course, first up at Elland Road this weekend. West Brom, 5-2. Aston Villa are 11-4, with Middlesbrough 11-4 as well. There's a lot of talk about Middlesbrough maybe zipping in and taking Martin Waghorn. Derby are quite interested, but Derby have spent some money as well. Frank Lampard in charge there. Everybody talks about the Championship being probably one of the hardest leagues in Europe. And this year, once again, it looks like it certainly will be.
Yeah, well, you've mentioned all the teams I've got written down here. I've got Stoke, Aston Villa, West Brom, Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds, Derby, Middlesbrough, Swansea with a question mark. Those are all the teams I think will be challenging at the top end of the table. Yeah, listen, I played in that Championship and I've been promoted from the Championship. It's a tough, tough league. And it's a very competitive league, as you've seen in recent times, and arguably it's more exciting than the Premier League at times. I think Stoke are going to be strong. You can never write off Steve Bruce. You know, I mean, people don't realise, you know, what a fantastic job he did, you know, initially going into Aston Villa last season and getting them to the playoff final with the squad and the players he had. was an unbelievable achievement, and I think they'll be there or thereabouts. West Brom, I'm wanting Darren Moore to do well. I think from a personal point of view, he's a friend, but also from a black manager point of view, I'd like to see him do well and get promotion, because that will encourage more black managers, and obviously chairman will look more at black managers if Darren can make a success of it. So, yeah, and obviously Sheffield Wednesday, they're my club, as it were. I'm hoping that they're going to feature this season. I mean, people are worried that they haven't done anything in the transfer market. But if I remember when Leicester got promoted and I spoke to Nigel Pearson, and the first season he went in there, he spent a lot of money, and it didn't go. It didn't work. And he was under pressure the following season. I remember speaking to him and Craig Shakespeare, and they knew that if they didn't hit the ground running, they would be out of work. And what he said to me, he said, I brought too many players in, they didn't have time to settle, and it was a nightmare. So he said, what I'm going to do is build team spirit, and the players I've got are good enough. And maybe Sheffield Wednesday have made that decision. They've got good players. They've bought good players. The chairman's invested heavily in the football club. So I think what he said, well, let's go. Let's get a team spirit together. That's something I think was lacking last season. There was rumours about players who were not playing because they didn't like the manager and they were fit. They've got good players. They've got the likes of Hooper, who's Premier League. He, you know, in the Championship, he should be scoring 25, 30 goals. So they have got good players. So I'm expecting them to be there or thereabouts this season. And then maybe the chairman will have a look at Christmas and think, well, you know, if they're there or thereabouts, you know, with the rewards of being in the Premier League, he'll get his hand in his pocket.
I think that you sort of hit the nail on the head, but it is from a Wednesday fans point of view that they've not signed well with anybody so far this transfer window, which, and they've let a few people out. Jordan Rhodes didn't really do it too much at Sheffield Wednesday, but they've let like four players go: Glenn Louvins, Ross Wallace, Jack Hunt, but not bringing anybody in. I mean, they only finished 15th last season. There was a lot of promise ahead of last season. It just sort of just seemed to peter out. But you think just keeping with the players that they've got and then assessing it around Christmas time?
Well, I think the way they finished in the league last year wasn't representative of the squad of players. There was a lot of problems last season. I think there was an hangover from the season before, and there was a lot of problems. You know, Rhodes for me will score goals. I just don't think Carlos played the right way with Rhodes, you know, to get him the service to score the goals. And so he was always going to struggle with the way they play. So I think what he's decided to do is let a few players go. They have had a big squad, and it was interesting. I was listening to Gary Rowett the new Stoke manager. He said the same thing when he first went into Derby. It's too big a squad. And the problem that you've got, if you've got too big of a squad there, if you've got players who are not playing in the first team, it becomes a problem, because those players are disgruntled and they, you know, they start unsettling the atmosphere in the dressing room and whatever. Then they're not ready to play if you need them for injury. You need a decent squad, but you don't need too big a squad. So I agree with what Sheffield Wednesday have done in trimming the squad. You know, ideally you'd want one cover for each position if you could, and that's what you need. And then, you know, build that team spirit, build that togetherness. You know, whether you love him or hate him, that's what Neil Warnock does. Everywhere he goes, he builds a spirit, and they're not necessarily the best players. They weren't the best players in the Championship by a million miles. But I tell you what, they had the biggest hearts. They had the biggest desire. And Neil gets these players to want to run through brick walls for him, and they do. So Sean Dash has used the same model. I think he used a record low players to get promoted from the Championship. Yeah, they got promoted. So I think there's much to be said for, you know, having a unity and a squad together. I mean, Sheffield United proved that last season, and had the chairman invested at Christmas time in Sheffield United or give Chris Wilder the money, I certainly believe they would have been in the playoffs. But the chairman didn't give Chris the money that he needed to invest, because those players who with that togetherness, they were just running out of legs. They were just running out of steam around, you know, just after Christmas time. So yeah, there's a lot to be said. I know in a team I played in, which was full of talented players, really talented players, you know, Chris Waddle, John Sheridan, David Hurst, you know, the list can go on, right, of the talented players in there, Roland Nielsen. But I tell you one thing that got us through game after game after game after game was the spirit, the camaraderie. We went out and boozed together. If we had to, we would fight together. And certainly on the pitch, we played together as a team. You know, I was speaking to some of the lads on Twitter yesterday. For 10 years, you know, 9 years I was at Sheffield Wednesday, that squad was the unity in it was the success, not the individual. There was no I in our team. There's no I in our team. There might have been Erste who scored all the goals. There might have been Chris Waddle who was player of the year, but there was no I. We were a team and we had unity. And to be successful, you have to have that unity. That is the biggest thing. You can't have individuals. At Leeds, you could see that last year. There was too many individuals, and I felt sorry for the manager that came in there. You know, he inherited a squad of players. There are too many individuals, not enough team players. You have to have a team willing to play together. Whether you've got an outstanding individual in the team, it's still a team play. No, you know, you can have Alan Shearer in your team who scores 30, 40 goals in the season, but that's fine for Alan Shearer. If you don't have a team that's all together, that can win the league, that can win a cup, that player that scores 40 goals is no good to you if he's there on his own.
Who, just out of interest, who was the best player that you played with in your club career? Who was the best player that you played alongside?
It's very difficult if you're going to ask me that question because how can I? I can't pick one player. Yeah. I mean, if you're asking me who was the best midfield player that complemented me in my career, without a shout, club football, without a shadow of a doubt, was John Sheridan at Sheffield Wednesday. Magnificent footballer. But if you're saying who was the best players, I mean, I've played with Chris Waddle. Yeah. I call Chris Waddle a genius. I in fact used to go out on a football pitch and work harder to get the ball, to give it to him. Every time I got the ball, I give it to him. And I used to shout to him, give me a trick, give me a trick. you know, he's a genius. I played with Gary McAllister at Leeds. I played with Gordon Strachan. I played with Gary Speed. I played with Tony DiRigo. I played with Dave Batty. I played with Mark Hughes. The list goes on. Yeah. You know, David Hurst, phenomenal striker, phenomenal. Had he gone to Man United, I think we would have seen, you know, Alan Shearer and David Hurst made their debuts at the same time. Had David Hurst gone to Man United, I think you would have seen David going on and having a better career than Alan Shearer. For me, he was a better striker than Alan Shearer. But what he needed was, he needed that discipline of somebody like Sir Alex, because Erste was a big fish in Sheffield, and sometimes that's not a good thing for you to achieve all your ambitions, right?
Yeah.
But no, I've been blessed in my career to play with, you know, I went to Southampton, played with Matt Letizia, played with Ian Rush, you know, one of the best goal scorers in the Premier League, played with Roland Nielsen, one of the best right backs in the Premier League. And then I'll go back to people who inspired me, and people will think, well, Nigel Pearson. Yes, Nigel Pearson. I couldn't believe his will to win. I couldn't believe his desire to win. When I'm telling you that the ball's going in the net and he's diving at the post with his head to keep the ball out. You know, his desire to play a football game when his leg's strapped up and he's saying to the gaffer, I'll be all right. You know?
Not exactly. You know, not like Neymar. Not like Neymar at all.
Sorry?
Not like Neymar at all, no.
No. So I was very blessed in my career, to be honest with you, with the players I played alongside. And I'm proud to be able to call a lot of them my friends.
You touched on Man United there, Carlton. Jose Mourinho, there's a lot of talk, and I saw some stuff on Twitter today. There's a lot of talk that maybe time is running out for Jose at Manchester United. A lot of people are tweeting, and there's a lot of rumours going around that maybe Zinedine Zidane is the next man, the next cab on the rack for Old Trafford. What are your thoughts? Mourinho has already seems to have started up, even in pre-season, on a very negative sort of connotations that are coming out from the stuff he's saying in press conferences?
Yeah, he's winding everybody up and everybody's buying into it. The press are buying into it and everybody's buying up to it. Let me tell you, whoever finishes above Manchester United this season will win the league. As they finished second last year, I fancy them to win the league title this year. Don't you get fooled by Jose Mourinho. I've never really, all the players I've spoke to who have played for Jose all over the years, let me tell you, there's very few players who've got bad words to say about Jose Mourinho. Very few players. You know, he's a hard taskmaster. He's under pressure. Of course he's under pressure. He gets paid top dollar. His job is to deliver next year the league title. He knows that. That's why he gets paid big money. You know, he has the money to bring the transfer targets in. He has a different kind of pressure to other managers because other managers, do not get paid as much as him and they don't have the expectation. But when Jose goes in, he's expected to deliver. He was expected to deliver Champions League football last season. He delivered Champions League football. He's now put it on himself to deliver the league title this season. And let me tell you, they won't be far off. I think they'll win it because I think Man City will have an hangover with a lot of their players from the World Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting start to the Premier League season. Of course, Championship getting underway this weekend. But it's a busy time in sport, Carlton, and some amazing boxing over the weekend. And I know you wanted to mention that.
Well, I did because, it's for the young kids. It's the young kids. I was inspired by Dillian White's story. And, you look at this young boy who his mother left him to come to from Jamaica to come to the UK to make a better life with a family. But Dillian stayed in Jamaica. He didn't see his mum for 11 years. He was stabbed. He was shot. He's come to the UK, you know, about the age of 12 and 13. He's had to come up the tough way. He went and did kickboxing. His manager put him into boxing. He fought Anthony Joshua in the amateurs in his first professional first amateur fight and beat Anthony Joshua, right? And to see him go out and after, 30 fights, I think he's had 35, 40 fights, including an amateur background against somebody who's an Olympian and has gone 12 rounds with Anthony Joshua, who, without a shadow of doubt, in my opinion, is the best heavyweight on the planet in the moment, for Dillian to beat him in the fashion that he did. It should be an inspiration to all young kids. And again, with Del Boy Chisora taking on Takam, you look at him and you think, for me, it's just a great story with boxing that shows people can come from nowhere, but just with the desire, the hard work, the determination, the sacrifices you can achieve. And it just inspires me. It always has done as a kid. I've always been inspired by boxing. Muhammad Ali, I used to read all his phrases when he used to come out with stuff like, well, if I can't beat me, who can beat me? And that's the biggest thing in life. If you're honest with yourself, if you look yourself in the mirror and say, right, this is the only person who beats yourself is you by not being honest about the things. You know, at Leeds United, the lads used to say to me, why do you never wait to look at the team sheet? Well, I know if I've played well the following week, the week before, I'm going to be on the team sheet. If I haven't played well, then why am I looking on the team sheet? There'll be no surprise if I'm not on the team sheet. I haven't played well. You just got to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, it's British boxing right at the moment just looks extremely healthy, especially that heavyweight division. There is so much quality coming from this country. It's I don't know. I can't remember another time where we've had this many contenders in a weight division.
Hey, and by the way, we have to have a big shout out to Tyson Fury.
Yeah,
I mean, he went and beat Vladimir Klitschko when nobody else has done that. He's been through the problems he's been through, the well documented, you know, his mental state. He's come back, dropped 8 stone. That's a massive achievement in any right to get him back himself in that shape. And now it looks like he's very close to signing a deal to fight Deontay Wilder. There's arguments about that he's the best heavyweight, but obviously he's been out of the ring for 3 years. He's going to have to prove that. But for only his third fight, you know, he's going to have a fight, I believe, in a week's time. And then it looks like he's going to take Deontay Wilder on. I'm assuming that the winner of him and Deontay Wilder will then fight Anthony Joshua. But assuming Fury goes over to America and beats Deontay Wilder, what an achievement that will be. And then what a fantastic fight we would have with Tyson Fury against Anthony Joshua at the Millennium Stadium or at Wembley. It's just phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just phenomenal.
I mean, I think both Fury and Joshua beat Deontay Wilder simply because the heavyweight division is the heavy, like you've seen the weekend with Parker. Dillian White was a stone heavier, right?
Yeah.
Tyson Fury will go into the ring, even if he goes in a little bit lighter for Deontay Wilder's speed. If he goes in at about 17.6, 17.7, he'd be 3 stone heavier than Deontay Wilder. If Joshua goes in the weight he went in his last fight at 17.6, he's going to be 3 stone heavier. That is too much weight to give away as an heavyweight. It for me, with all your skills, with all your ability, you know, unless you've got the movement and the viciousness of Mike Tyson, who would come in around 15.5, you know, just short of 16 stone, but he was vicious, he was a brute. And unless you've got that type of weaponry in your arsenal, you're coming up against two giants in Joshua and Fury who can both bang and have both got good movement. So I think, you know, Fury will beat Wilder, and then what a matchup that'll be.
Exciting times ahead in boxing, exciting times ahead in football as well. Big kickoff this week. We're reviewing the first weekend of the Championship in next week's podcast. Carlton, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Have a good week.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Right, listen, Darren, I'm flying.